Blog Talk Radio.
Bridge.
Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to Prophetic Grace Network, PGN. The place where we not only talk about it, but we are about it, and we are about our Father's business. And that's Jesus Christ. Happy New Year to everyone that I haven't said Happy New Year to, because this is the first week in this year. Grateful we made it to 2023. Awesome year passed. Still awesome. Every year that we are alive and witness what God has done is awesome. Every minute, every second, every hour, every day, every month, every week, year is awesome because he lives and he made it possible for us to bear witness to it. And I'm very grateful for that. So again, Happy New Year. And this is a great year that we're looking forward to. Well, we're getting back to the basics with the foundation, getting back to the basics in the foundation of Christ, the true essence of our being. And I'm just grateful about that. So I am one half of your host, Terrence.
And I'm your other half of your host, Tanisha. And like Terrence said, Happy New Year. We are glad to be here, glad that we made it to 2023, glad that you made it to 2023, and we have high expectations for this year, and I hope you do too. Today is January 4th, 2023. It's 7:08 p.m. Central Standard Time, and like Terrence said, we don't just talk about it, we are about it, and I agree that we're getting back to the basics. That's where God is taking us, because, you know, in anything in life, a lot of the times, you know, you start strong, and then when you kind of get to the middle, you start to get complacent, and you start to get used to things, or you start to get jaded about certain things. And I really feel like God is going to refresh us so that we have a strong finish, because it is my sincere belief that we are living in the last days. I was listening into the show last night, and Randy was talking about how sometimes he gets wouldn't say angry, but he gets passionate. And the reason is because we don't have time. Like, we don't have time. He was talking to Carmen. It was really good. And even she was saying how she just doesn't have time for certain things. And that's where I am. And that's where we all need to be. We need to be mindful of the time because we don't have a lot of it left. And I know when I first became a believer, something that God shared with me that was, you know, puzzling to me at the time, but makes sense to me now, is he shared with me that I was called for the end times, and that some of the things that he was calling me for, if I didn't do it, there would be nobody else to do it. So it was on me. And I'm like, what do you mean there won't be nobody else to do it? He's like, this it is like, if you don't do it, there is no Calvary to call. There is no, you know, generations after you that can, you know, continue to work. Like you're basically part of the skeleton crew. Like you're part of the last. Because time ends, and we are in those times. And so we need to be mindful of our time, especially this year. We need to be mindful in doing the work of God and not bringing the old and bad habits of 2022 and years prior into 2023. Because we really don't have time for certain things. We don't have time for foolishness. We don't have time to be arguing with people. We don't have time to be squandering and wasting our time. We just need to do the work that's assigned to us. And something that God shared with me in some of my private time, he was like, you just, you know, give the message for accountability. And that's it. Because there's a lot of debates that's been going on right now, especially as the mindsets of society shifts, right? Like, what's a woman? And defining all these, like things are being redefined that God has already defined. As believers, we can't get caught up in that, because once God says it, that's just the truth. Anything contrary to what God says is a lie. That's a good way to distinguish, because some people say, well, I don't know. How do I know if it's a lie or not? If it's contrary to the word, if it's contrary to what God has said, it's a lie. No matter how sincere, no matter how heartfelt, no matter how well spoken, it's a lie. If it's contrary to what God says, let every man be a liar and God's word be true. And so there's been a lot of debates about what's true and what's false. And you just tell the truth with boldness, and that's it. And if somebody don't believe it, okay. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to speak the truth. I'm a bearer of truth in this darkness and in a world that is really suffering with delusion. It's like it's kind of like when I was in high school, I remember being fascinated by the Salem witch trials and how deluded and crazy that whole thing was. And if you haven't studied it, I suggest you do. And this is a real thing. This is a real thing where they were really, people was able to say, you know, hey, this person down the street is a witch and they will kill these people. No proof based on just what somebody said. And it started to cause this mass hysteria. But it started to get so ridiculous to where, like, maybe somebody took the last apple at the store and there was a dispute. Now they're going saying, oh, you know, this person that took the last apple, she's a witch. You know, they started to notice that it was just becoming madness and it ceased. But if I remember reading that in high school and saying, how could people fall for such stupidity? Like, you really saying a black bird came to you in the middle of the night and told you that your next door neighbor was a witch, and then you going to just kill these people just because somebody said something that sounds completely crazy where they need to be in a padded room? And people with long-standing family feuds with accusing other members of families of being witches, even though there was documented long-standing family feuds. It was crazy. Like, I want to buy their land, but they're not going to sell me their land. You know what I'm going to say? I'm just going to say the whole family witches to take their land. Documented. But yet they were going along with it. But I remember wondering, how could people's minds be so warped? And now I'm here. The world that we live in is literally like being part of the Salem witch trials, like where delusion is being applauded and delusion is being accepted as completely normal. Like it's crazy the times that we are in, and because we're living in such crazy times, right? I mean, we're not surprised by it because the Word of God gives us instructions and warnings and gives us signs and tells us what to expect. And here we are, but we need to be in a world that promotes delusion and mental illness. We need to present the truth and not say what delusional is facts. Facts are facts. Truth is truth. Like, people really can just determine or want you to go along with what they think based on how they feel, which is crazy. And what they really want you to go along with what they feel as being reality, when traditionally, when a person operates that way, when they operate in believing everything that they feel with absolutely no proof, facts, nothing to support it, a lot of times that's a personality disorder. Like, if you study borderline personality disorder, they believe their delusions. Because they think that that's real. And now this is what's expected of us. Like, oh, that person thinks this is real, so you got to go along with it. That's a mental illness. There's no proof. And they'll even go so far as to say, well, you believers, you believe things that, the word God proves himself to be true. That's not the same. Because God confirms what he creates. There ain't no confirmation and nothing. These people will really be believing things with zero evidence. Not because God told them, but because they made it up in their own head. And we're supposed to go along with it. So we as believers, we have work to do here. And one of the biggest things we need to do is be bearers of truth. Unashamed and bold, because I'm noticing a lot of water down of, you know, and tippy-toeing around the truth, and no, it's just proclaim the truth. Somebody wants to argue with you about it, you literally don't have time to argue with them about it, because the Word of God is true. You seek and you're going to find. If somebody's really searching for the truth, they're going to find the truth, but it doesn't mean that they're going to accept it. So you could be the answer because they're seeking it and then you bringing it, and whether they accept it or not, that's between them and God. And that's what you tell them. and say, this is the truth. I understand you don't believe it, but your lack of belief doesn't make it any less true. And so you say that you don't believe that, but this is the truth. I'm not going to say this is my truth. I'm going to say this is the truth. And so I understand that you have free will and you can use your free will not to believe the truth and leave it there. Be mindful of your time. Don't get into debates with people. Because we live in a backwards world that does things out of order but expect in order results. People come to you with their issues and problems and it's out of order, tell them the truth. That this is the reason why this is happening is because you're not doing it the way that it needs to be done, the way that God created and designed it to be. Be bold. Say God. Don't be afraid. Because people want to debate everything except for things that they can't change, like gravity. They'll admit gravity is real because they don't have no way of changing that. They fall off a building, they're going to go splat at the bottom unless they have something that's in their way. But gravity is gravity. They're not going to sit up there and say, debate you about the sun rising and the sun setting and the moon rising and the moon setting. And, you know, they won't debate you about that, but they only debate things that's within their will, their free will, that they could choose to do or not to do. But keep the same perspective, like it's gravity or the sun rising and the sun setting. And just because you have the power to control whether you yield to it or not doesn't make it any less true, just like it don't make it any less true about the sun rising and the sun setting. If somebody says they don't believe that, we would look at them like they had, you know, they grew a second head. But yet, we try to tiptoe around things that we know is just as true. Just because a person has the free will, you can explain that to people that, hey, you know, that's, you have free will. So you could choose not to do what God wants you to do. You could choose to operate in delusion. You could choose to operate in lies. That's your choice. But it doesn't make anything less true. You could say, I don't believe that the sun rises and sets, even though you see it every day. That's a person that's delusional. Because you see the facts of it. So you could choose to say that you don't believe that, but that doesn't make it any less true. And it doesn't mean that the sun ain't going to rise and the sun ain't going to set. So let's be mindful of our time in 2023. God's got big plans for us this year. I'm excited about this year. This year feels really good to me. And just let's not get caught up in debates, unhealthy ones, foolishness. You know, because I sometimes people try to debate you, not because they have a genuine interest in what you're talking about. It's so that they can know how to have a rebuttal the next time they come across a person with similar beliefs. They just want to know where you stand so that they can go back to their, you know, their home and try to find something to go against what you said. But truth is always going to be what it is. You know, God is going to use it to confine the wise. And so be mindful of your time. Sometimes you are casting your pearls before swine. Sometimes you just tell the truth and keep it rolling. You don't have to sit up there. I don't debate. I'm not going to debate you. Tell the truth and let you do what you do. You know, I pray for you. I love you because I love everybody. But I'm not going to sit up there and debate because when you do things out of order, you're going to get out of order results. And sometimes people, they want order, but they don't want to do things in order. So it's like, okay, well, when you really want it, then you'll do what needs to be done. But until then, you're going to keep getting what you put out. You reap what you sow. So if you sow out of order things, you're going to reap out of order things. People are looking for peace, but sowing chaotic seeds. It makes no sense. And then when you try to give them the keys and introduce them to the Prince of Peace, they don't want it. So it becomes this dizzying cycle. But all you do is you present the Prince of Peace. Tell them about Jesus. Talked about this last week, about how the direction the world is going in is they're promoting positivity and God, right? But they don't never say Jesus. Never say it. And the word of God is clear. You can't get to the Father without the Son. So you can talk about God all day long, the positivity and being kind and all that kind of stuff, and those things are great. But if you don't have Jesus, your soul ain't secure. Because it's not your works that save you. Jesus saves. You could be the most kind-hearted person that you could possibly be outside of Christ in your own human ability. You could give all your money away. You could do all these things. But if you don't have Jesus, your soul ain't secure. It's not. Because we serve a God who is love. And the word says if you could do all these things and if you have love, it don't mean nothing. And if you're really searching for truth, you're going to find Jesus, period. But if you just talk in the universe and God, but you ain't never really looked for truth, then people are accountable for that. So we as believers, we need to be preaching the name of Jesus. We need to be talking to people about Jesus. Because we're going to start blending in if we only say God and never say Jesus. Because that's what the world is doing too. They're saying God too. They want that way you'll leave them alone too. Like, oh yeah, I believe in God. The devil believe in God. What that mean? Is your soul secure in Jesus Christ? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Your belief in God, that what does that mean? It's going to be people who are going to come up to Jesus and say, but I was doing all this stuff in your name. So that means if they even believed that his name worked and still he going to say, depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you. So using his name, seeing it work and still didn't give their life to him. So having knowledge don't mean nothing. Having belief ain't even enough. You have to love God, love Jesus, give your life to Christ to be saved. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. So when people start having those God conversations with you, bring up Jesus. Because the world is really trying to get us away from that name. That's why they're using the word God too. They're using the lowercase one though. They ain't talking about the capital G. They're talking about the lowercase G. There's a difference. But bring up the name Jesus. Don't be afraid to say the name Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. That's why when you take communion, there's power in it because you're partaking in what he did. There's power in that. And so we got work to do as believers. We got to wipe the crust out of our eyes because we've been sleeping. We've been blending in. Time for us to salt this world that we're in. Time for us to change our bulbs and shine bright. To get the cotton out of our mouth and speak what needs to be spoken and quit being worried about offending people. How cruel is it to know the truth and withhold it because you're afraid they're going to offend. Oh, they're going to be offended. So I'd rather you on this time on earth that the word of God says is a smoke. I'd rather you be here comfy cozy on your way to hell. No, that's not love. That's wrong. That's cruel. Well, let me cuddle you. I don't want to offend you even though you don't know Jesus. Because I'm afraid if I say the name of Jesus, you're going to feel some sort of way. That ain't right. I don't care how you feel. I would prefer you felt all warm and toasty and great, but that's not my goal. You think that when God is ordering our steps and all that, he does everything based on how you feel? So you think he thought Joseph was feeling all warm and toasty inside while he was in prison for something that he did not even do when his brothers betrayed him? You think that God thought Joseph felt great about that? That was cool? When Noah was building the ark, you think God said, oh yeah, him being ridiculed for years and years on top of years, that makes him feel great. I mean, he tucks himself in real comfy at night. When Abraham was told, hey, just leave and follow me, not telling you where you're going, but just follow me, you think that felt good to Abraham? God don't operate based on how you feel. He operates based on what you need. People need Jesus. He's our example. So we need to quit being worried about how people feel and give them what they need. Because I promise you, Job wasn't feeling good about what was going on when the hedge was removed and the devil was able to do everything but take his life. That did not feel good, and we know it because he talked about it. He lamented about it. When David was being chased by Saul for the simple fact of pure, utter jealousy, right? When you get down to the nitty-gritty, Saul was jealous of David and knew David was supposed to be next in line. He knew he messed up, and he was basically hating on David because David was chosen by God. And David loved Saul. Do you think that David felt great about a man that he loved, that whose household he was in? Think about David's background, right? His own dad didn't see him as somebody that the man of God came to anoint to be the king. So then he goes into Saul's household, and he's, you know, playing his songs and all this kind of stuff, and he's part of the king's household, and he becomes very great friends with Jonathan. He probably felt really good because he had this father figure now that he loved and that he felt loved him, and then the man turned on him and trying to kill him and take him out. You think that felt good? And then even when he showed mercy to him and could have took him out twice, Saul still gave chase. I don't think that felt equivalent to an Epsom salt soak to David. That did not feel good. But yet there it happened. Under God's watch. So we need to get out of our feelings, because it's selfish to say, I don't want to offend them. It's really because it's not that you're concerned about how they feel. You're concerned about how you're going to look. That's your concern. Because if I offend them, they're going to feel this way about me. It's personal to you. That's selfish. Because if I'm selfless, I know this is what you need. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned. I'm looking past that offense. To what's needed. So we need to be worried about that and quit worried about, oh, they might not like me anymore, or they this, that, and the other, or yada, yada. Who cares? That stuff doesn't matter. We don't have time for that. We really don't. We do not. Ain't got time. Because we know we're coming from a place of love. Because everything you do, do it with love, because you genuinely love people. You care about them. You want them to make it. You know the truth. They in the matrix, and you know the truth, and you just sitting there letting them stay in the matrix. Just dodging things like, you know, Keanu Reeves in the movie, and they, for no reason. They in the hamster wheel, and they, oh, I'm just so tired. I don't know why. And you see the hamster wheel, and they don't see it. But you're too afraid to say, well, you know why you're tired? Because you're in the hamster wheel. But I don't want to offend them by telling them that they put themselves in the hamster wheel. But they're telling you that they're tired and they want answers, and you have the answer, but you're not going to give it to them. It's going to leave them in the hamster wheel. So as long as they're not offended, it's going to leave them in the matrix, trying to break their back, moving backwards. We have the answers. We have the truth. We know the truth. We serve the truth. People are in bondage all around us. And you know the truth. You know what's going on. But you don't want to speak up because you're afraid to offend. Let's get out of that in 2023. Let's take offense, the fear of offense, ball it up and throw it away, because the enemy will try to use that like it's righteous. Oh, yeah, because, you know, you just still want to have the appearance of evil. That's not the same. Because offense is something that's based on the person. People choose to be offended. You can't make nobody be offended. You cannot. That's a choice on their part. So if somebody's coming to you and they having all these issues and stuff, preach the word. Give them the word. Give them the truth. Don't give them worldly advice, because that don't work. It's you giving them death. You giving them poison. You might as well set some gallows for them, because it don't work. It doesn't. I've been there. I've done that. I wasn't raised in church. I came out of the world. I know the world's way of thinking. I know the way the world moves. There's nothing new under the sun. The same stuff the world is gravitating people towards now, the same stuff they're gravitating people towards when I became a believer. It's no different. It's temporary. You get stuff, you're temporary, it's insatiable. You're always looking for more, 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 because nothing will fill that void. Nothing, 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 nothing. I was watching an interview with a major actress, and she's talking about how she had pinpointed basically these things that she felt were happiness, and now those things aren't working anymore. So she's going to go to Tibet or somewhere to search for happiness. And I'm just screaming, Jesus, that's what you need. Because what the world offers is temporary. It's not real. It's not lasting. It's like you're starving and the world just gives you just the little crumbs. You're still hungry. They just give you crumbs here, crumbs, 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 crumbs. And you're still hungry. Then you get frustrated because you're like, I'll be eating, but I'm still hungry because you're not eating the right thing. It doesn't satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. Somebody give you a drop of water and you dehydrate it, that's not going to do it. Because you need to drink of the Lord. I told Terrence, I'm like, you're doing the show tonight. And the Lord just had a whole different direction. But again, let's be mindful of our time in 2023 and moving forward, because we're it. You know, we have some people that did the same works that we did, that, you know, provide example and leadership, right, and mentorship. But after us, you know, I don't know how much time we have. I really don't. But I don't think we got a lot. It's like those hourglasses. We're in the last grains. And I know this to be true. And not even because of what I've heard other ministers say. It's because this is what God has always told me from the start. I mean, freshly a believer with no church background, no biblical theologian background, none of it. And this is what God was personally ministering to me. Say, hey, I'm going to use you. When I use you, I'm going to use you in the end times. And I'm like, what? And it being confirmed over and over for people who complete strangers. Hey, you know, God is going to use you in the end to edify the body of Christ. And then I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I know he's been beating that into me since I was 20. How old was I? 22? 21? I think I was 21 when I became a believer. I was either 21 or 22. I think I was 21, just about to turn 22. So this has been a long time that he's been getting me to understand. Because I remember, you know, one time in my 30s, and I had another person prophesied over me. I'm like, well, why do you keep telling me this? He's like, because I need you to understand, because I need you to take it serious. Because when you enter to it, when you like know that you know that you know that you're in it, I need you to believe that. Take the call on your life very serious. Because who gonna do it if you don't? So take the call on your life very serious. Be mindful of your time. That's something that I want to work on. Definitely that I am going to work on this year, being mindful of my time and using my time and treating it very precious. You know, it's just like how when you, you know, when you down to your last few dollars, you're mindful. You know, when you have a lot of money, you could be very, you know, frivolous with your money because you know you got a lot of it. So you're not even mindful. You just buy whatever because you know you got a lot. But once them dollars start drying up, you start getting mindful quick. Like, do I really need to spend that on this name brand butter? I could just get the store brand. You know, that is going to save me $1.22 because I need to put some gas in my car. Okay, NCDs are on sale. Let me see if I got a coupon. Like, you start getting real mindful of how you spend your money when you down to your last. And I want you to be mindful of your time because we're getting down to the last. So be mindful of it. Don't just squander it off. Like, be deliberate. And every day, say, Lord, this is a day that you made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. What do you want me to do today? Because we have plans, right? The Word of God says that, you know, people have plans, but God is who establishes them. But every person has plans, but God establishes them. But God is the one who, let's read that. I'm going to find that scripture. And then we'll start taking callers. You got anything, Terrence, while I look up that scripture? I'm looking at the scripture about God establishing your plans. Like how basically people make plans, but God is the one. I heard that. Here we go. Proverbs 16:9. I think that's what it is. Thank you, Google. Here we go. Oh, no wonder I couldn't find it because I'm in the wrong one. But this is NIV. I'm going to read it as Amplified, too. It says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Let's read that out of Amplified. So the man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them, right? So we always be having plans, but let's ask God to establish and direct our steps for each day. Right, because, you know, it's okay you want to have, you know, lunch with your Aunt Janice. But what does the Lord want you to do with each day that he gives you? You know, let him establish and direct and set the tone and set the course for your day. Because a lot of times we'll just pray and be thankful, thank you God for today, and that's it, you know. And there's nothing wrong with being grateful, but let's be mindful too. Let's ask God to direct each day. I mean, it's great that you're glad and you're rejoicing in the day, and it's great that you're grateful for the day, but what does God want you to do with the day? Why are you in this day? Somebody didn't wake up today. That was in yesterday, right? They woke up yesterday, but they didn't wake up today. So why am I still here? What do you want me to do with this time that you've gifted me with? Because it's a gift, you know, and we're gonna. Like Terrence said, back to the basics, we're really going to start to see more and more the gift of what God does for us on a day-to-day basis. If you could buy a carton of eggs, that's a gift, right? Because eggs are like $8 a carton out here. It's crazy. Maybe exaggerating a little bit. I typically, we like to get the brown cage-free eggs, but I've had to get back to the regular white one. And I think I paid $6 or something like that for some store brand regular eggs the other day. And I really was upset because they were supposed to be on sale. And they were 70 cents more, but I was like, you know what, I'm not even going to make a big deal about it. No, they were $3.99 on sale, but they were four something for the store brand white ones. And I thought that was a big deal. So I'm like, oh, that's a good price. I mean, that's pretty cheap compared to like the ones we wanted, like $8. But you become grateful when things like this happen, inflation and stuff, and you're still able to afford to buy eggs. You know, this is going to be a year we're really going to get back to the basics and be grateful for the little things, not thinking about the things that we don't have, because we live in a society that's all about, you know, consumption, right? And it's teaching you, if you get caught up in the world and the society that we live in, it's always training you to get more. And this isn't good enough. You need better. You need bigger. You need newer. You need shinier. You need, you know, hip new. You need this season. That's what it will teach you and train you to, where you will get you won't be grateful for what you have. You know, you're like, oh, those boots are from two seasons ago. Who cares? You know, they still work. But when things start to get tighter and tighter, you just be grateful that you got boots. You're not worried about what brand they are and what season they come from. You're just happy that you got a pair to put on your feet. You know, you could be a snob about certain things, but when your money gets tight, like my mom was a ketchup snob. She only liked a certain brand of ketchup. She was not going to buy, eat, use no other brand of ketchup. But when your money starts getting tight, that $1.99 store brand, you'd be grateful that you can even get ketchup, no matter what brand. So it's like, you know, you could look at the times as being tough, or you can look at the times as molding you to be more grateful and getting back to what's important and what matters. Because, you know, branded ketchup, you know, based on some of the ingredients, maybe it has some bearing, but, and I'm just using that as a loose example, but we God is positioning us to really get back to the basics of what really matters, because we get so clogged up with things that don't matter. They don't matter. They don't matter, and we're making it matter, and it doesn't matter, and it's a distraction to keep us focused on the wrong things when time is literally running out and expiring in front of us, and we're still worried about the wrong stuff when God wants to get us back on what's important. People are important. We're here on this earth for people. We're assigned to people. So let's focus on that. Amen? All right, let's start taking some callers. Start with 682-738. Who are we speaking to?
This is Sister LaShawn from Texas.
Hey, LaShawn, how are you tonight?
Hey, LaShawn.
I'm doing great.
Amen.
I also have my son Jamal here, too.
Okay. He's on the phone with you?
Yes, I have it on speakerphone.
Okay. You said Jamari?
Yes, Jamari.
Oh, Jamari, I'm sorry. All right, well, let's pray for both of you. Heaven, let's start with Jamari. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Jamari and the call that you have on his life, Father God. I just thank you for him being able to see outside of circumstances. It's like, I like to study the life of people who are successful, not just in a financial sense, but successful in the fact that they are living the life that they believe God has called them to. And one of the common denominators I find, especially in successful men, is when they yield to the call that God has on their life, financial wealth tends to come along with it. But some of these men don't have, they weren't equipped for what the world says that you need to be successful. They don't have the degrees. They don't have the social economic background. They don't have the connections. They didn't come from money or refined education and all this type of thing. They just chose to follow God, and they chose not to allow the circumstances or even their backgrounds dictate or determine where they were headed. And so many people do. You know, so many people, they base where they're going based on where they're at right now. You know, like if you study even some people in mainstream entertainment, if you look at their background don't match where they are now. So that's never the determining factor. It's always the mentality, the mentality. And with Jamari, I see God taking off like the almost like where he doesn't see it anymore and doesn't use it as a determining factor, because the devil will really trip you up with that. He will trip you up with, well, you're not good enough for this, or you don't deserve that, or you need this, that, you need, no, you don't need none of that. You need God. Because wherever you're going, wherever you're headed, like we just read, God is the one who directs and establishes your steps. God determines where you can step. I've seen it. I've lived it. I was raised in the hood because my dad wanted my sister and I to have a hood experience, but my parents had money. But we were raised in the hood, but yet we went to school with super rich kids because my dad wanted us to be very well-rounded. And I've seen some people allow being from the hood to determine the trajectory of their life. And some of these same people that I was raised around are still in the hood. Is it because the hood can't produce? No, it's because they got a mentality, a hood mentality. They can't see beyond where they were from. They can't see beyond what their social economic background was. Where I've seen some people from the hood, like, you never know. Because that doesn't determine anything. That's just where you were at that moment. But that don't make no determination. It literally doesn't make any determination. It's just an experience. Because my experience living there, going to school with the elite, but yet not having the same hood experience because of the financial background of my parents, that all it is experience. That's it. But so many people get caught up in where they're at. My first job was at McDonald's at 15. I ended up in corporate by the time I was 19. I could have been like, well, I'm just a little lowly McDonald's worker, and I don't think McDonald's workers are lowly, but some people do. But I could have took that mentality like, oh, this is as good as it's going to get, blah, blah, blah. No, I never thought that. When I got my first corporate job, it required a degree and all the other stuff. I didn't have none of that. I applied for the job anyway because my mentality, I didn't care what they required. I knew I could do it. Aced the test, passed the test, got in, and even they called and was like, you're not qualified, but we're going to hire you anyway because you scored better than everybody else. So it wasn't my qualifications as far as me lining up to what their standards. It was my mentality that got me in there. And so I see God changing Jamari's mentality to not allow experiences to dictate where you can go. Only you can stop you. That's it. Only you can stop you. I had a baby at a young age, and people said, oh, she threw her life away and this and the other. That didn't stop nothing. It literally, God used it, even though I didn't even know God then, God used it to fuel me to do better. Where I knew other girls who had babies young. I had a baby 2 months before I turned 18, my oldest son. And I used that to fuel myself to be better, where other people got on welfare and stayed there. And just stay. I literally, when I go home, I see some of the people still in that same mentality that from in the 90s. We in 2023, they're still in the 90s from when they were kids because they never got past the mentality. They grew in the body, but the mentality didn't change. And so what made me or anybody else different than them? The mentality. That's the difference, because if we had similar experiences, the experience didn't determine anything. The experience didn't stop anything. It was the mental. And so, Jamari, God is getting you out of the mental chain. And where he's calling you, you have to believe that you can do those things. It don't matter what type of qualification. It doesn't matter what other people's typical backgrounds are. Where my first corporate job, I was working with people who had PhDs and MDs and all the other kinds of stuff. I didn't even have a high school diploma. I did not have one. So the backgrounds of the people that I was working with, my background was literally McDonald's. That was my background. And people say, oh, Tanisha, what's your degree in? Well, I don't have a degree. I don't even have a high school diploma. I don't even have GED. They'd be like, what? I got my GED when I was working corporate for several years just to prove to myself that I could get it. Because people assumed that I had a degree and I did not. So I did it to just say, okay, I need to have something because I don't have nothing, even though I did. But I felt like I needed to get it, so I did. I did it within a week. Didn't take classes or nothing, just went, took the test, and got it. So degrees, social economic backgrounds, where you're raised, all that don't mean nothing. It means nothing. It's the mental. Get your mind, line your mind up to where God is telling you where you're going to go. Because when I did become a believer at 21, 22, around when God, and he told me who I am. And I have became that. God has always told me, you're going to be successful. You're going to do this, that, and the other. And I have been. Because I believed it. And you have to believe what God is telling you. I tell people my background, they don't even believe it. I remember having a conversation with a woman. She said, yeah, Tanisha, you wouldn't know. I'm like, what are you talking about, baby? I'm from the hood. But didn't believe me. I'm like, just because I'm intelligent don't mean that I don't, like, don't, you don't know what I came through. You don't know what I've overcome. No clue. Because I didn't allow those things to stop. I allowed them to enhance. I allowed them to make me relatable to people. So I don't judge people in a negative way. I don't, oh, they're from the hood, so I don't care about them. I'm from there too. Or, oh, they got money, they think they're better. Nah, I've been around the people my whole life. Them people just got money. So take off whatever is hindering you, whatever you're thinking is preventing you from getting the success that you know that you want and that God has put in you. You gotta remove that and get out of your own head. Because none of that stuff determines anything. None of it. The only thing that determines and order and directs is God. Experiences are just that. They're experiences. They're here. They're gone. You learn from them and you keep it pushing, but you don't allow them to stop or block anything that God has for you. Some of the most successful people that I personally know of did not have backgrounds that lined up to them being successful. But they share the same common denominator. They have a successful mind. They believe that they're successful and believe that about themselves, even when they wasn't successful. Even when they was having to eat top ramen packets every day out of necessity, they still believed that they were successful and that they were getting to the path of success. So take it off. Take off the whatever is holding that mind. Remove it. Learn from it. Because it doesn't stop nothing. So Lord, we just thank you for Jamari, Father God. We thank you for him seeing himself the way you see him. And that you use everything. You use everything. You use Joseph. Joseph became second in command, and he was a prisoner. Most people look down at people who have been to jail. They don't care if they're guilty or not. The fact that they've been there, they automatically look down on them. And yet, God, you used a convict. Come on, let's keep it real. You used a convict to be second in command to save the world. So help Jamari see that, to look past that you use everybody. That background don't mean nothing. That man, Joseph, went from a convict to second in command just like that. So we thank you for the transformation of mind, the renewing of mind, the letting the mind that be in you, Jesus, be in him, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for LaShawn, Father God. We thank you for for the standing firm in her faith, standing firm in the truth, and not wavering, being steady, just like we talked about earlier in the show, being bold, and boldly using the name of Jesus, and boldly telling people this is the truth because this is the way God created it, and doing it in love. And teaching people when they're doing things that are out of order and saying this is the reason why this is not working is because you're doing it out of order. It don't take no prophecy to know that. You're out of line. You're out of order. Even when we drive, there's lines to keep us in order. And when we swerve out of line, we can get hit. It can have disastrous results. And people are operating a lot of the time, even believers, their lives are out of line and they're wondering why they're crashing and burning on the side of the freeway because they're not in line. They're not in order. They run in red lights and wondering why things aren't working the way that they want it to work because they're out of order. And I thank you, Father God, for using LaShawn to point out lovingly to people the truth. This is out of line. This is out of order. If you want order, you got to do things in order. You cannot expect to have peace and order when you're doing chaotic things that are out of order, when you are doing what the world does. It doesn't work like that. You either for the word or you for the world. You cannot be both. You cannot expect the word's results with worldly action. And so I thank you, Father God, for using her to be a bearer of truth and that she's bold and unwavering and unapologetic with the truth. Because people need to hear the truth. How many people got itchy ears? They just want to hear what they want to hear. They want to feel good. A lot of believers don't even want to hear the word at church. They want to hear a feel-good message. They don't want to hear the truth. They want a motivational speaker. They don't want a minister. They don't want an evangelist. They don't want a prophet. They want a motivational speaker so they feel good about everything that they do. And that's not what you gave us the word for, to just make us feel good. It's instruction so that we could be successful, so that we can know where we've erred. So I thank you, Father God, for using her to be that light and that bearer of truth, and just continue to bless her, Father God, in this year. And restore her health, Father God. Restore her health. Restore it. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. You got something to say, Jamar? Okay, thank you so much. Is this confirmation? God bless you. We're going to let you continue on with the other callers.
All right. God bless you, too. Have a good night.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next caller is 863-808. Who am I speaking with? You there, 863-808? Good question mark. I'm going to come back to you. Hopefully you will be there when I get back. Next is 240-482. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, this is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Happy New Year.
I'm doing good. Happy New Year to you, too. Terrence ran off. He went to go get food. He was over here about to pass out. So it's just me.
Gotta eat.
Yeah, gotta eat. And so let's pray for you, though. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Valerie, Father God. We thank you for the fact that she's been just standing firm and believing and enduring, Father God. And thank you for the rewards that she's going to endure and that she's really going to see the vengeance. How your word says, vengeance is mine. And she's going to see that. And it's not even a negative thing. It's just that when vengeance is needed, Father God, you administer vengeance as you see fit. People, we don't see things for what they really are. We see things from a surface level, but Father God, you see the heart. You see the heart of the matters. You see the heart of man. And so when vengeance is needed, you administer vengeance. So Father God, we thank you, Lord, that she's going to see the reward of being mindful of her seeds, and not allowing circumstances, people to get her rattled up and into doing the wrong things, that she's just been trusting you and doing what needs to be done within her power and might, with your help, with your strength, Father God, to allow things to just kind of settle, to allow things to settle and to get where they need to be without force or without trying to make it happen, but just allowing it to settle as you see fit in your timing. So I thank you, Father God, that you are rewarding her in this season, Father God, and that you're taking care of what needs to be taken care of. Valerie, this reminds me of Terrence went through a very nasty court battle that ended a few years ago, but we haven't fully talked about it on the show yet. But mm-hmm. we know that time is coming, but it was very horrendous, very nasty. And one of the people involved was an attorney and a very just disturbing attorney. And I remember having had some interaction with him, and he vexed my spirit immediately. Mm. And during that time, there was a lot going on, and I was angry. I was very angry because the things that were happening were very unfair. There was a lot of lies being told, and I was very angry. And I told the Lord, I'm like, this guy, like, there's no way. I don't want to deal with this guy. I don't want any dealings with this guy. Like, this guy is the pits. Like, he is absolutely a disgrace to the profession. And not that attorneys are held at the highest standards. So that tells you how horrible he was in his dealings. And the Lord said, mm-hmm. Well, I put him on your radar so that you could pray. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I did just that, pray. This guy just got nastier and nastier. And I saw him just lie. Lie like there's no tomorrow, lie on judges, lie on every, I mean, it was just crazy. I'm like, is this dude untouchable? Like, how is he so bold to just be lying on people and trying to destroy people's lives and stuff? And it was crazy. And the Lord just, you know, I wanted to do things. I'm like, I'm calling the bar, I'm calling the news or something. And the Lord said, vengeance is mine. And I'm like, but this dude is out of control. Like, something needs to be done. And the Lord said, I put him on your radar. Like, I'm going to take care of it. Last year, the Lord told Terrence and I, he said, that guy's going to lose his license to practice law this year. Tell us at the beginning of the year, do you know that he lost his license to practice law in September?
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
We didn't do nothing. We didn't call no bar, nothing. I pulled his record. This man had all sorts of bar complaints. And, I mean, crazy. And do you know what started it? It started with Terrence's case. One of the judges that he went against filed a complaint. That was the first complaint that was on his record. Because I remember when I was very angry and the Lord said, this case is going to be the beginning of the end of his career. He told me that then when he told me, I got him on the record, pray for him, all this kind of stuff. I got him on your radar. And I was mad. I was angry at that point. I was angry. And the Lord said, just pray for him. And I prayed for him. He would get nastier and nastier. And I'm seeing how he's affecting people, assistant district attorneys, judges. I mean, dude, just nasty. Nasty. And Terrence's attorney could not stand him. Him and his partner would show up at court cases, they're like, this guy's unreal. Like, the partner was like, there's no way this dude does the stuff that you guys are saying he does. And he showed up and was like, I can't believe this dude does these kind of things. Like, unbelievable.
Wow.
But the Lord, kids. It's like this case is going to be the beginning of the end of his career. And sure enough, last year, 2022, the Lord said, this year, that guy's going to lose his license. He's not going to be able to practice law. And he did. And so when I was praying for you and I heard the vengeance mind, that's what I thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where sometimes it takes a while. But God knows what he's doing. It's like when people try to come against you and when you, you know, and you know you haven't done anything wrong, God takes care of people the way he sees fit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you could just trust God, period. You could really have that peace because God had to teach me how to be peaceful during that time because it wasn't just that attorney. It was like all sorts of stuff that was going on that was very chaotic and very unfair, a lot of unfair things, unfair. And God had to teach me like, hey, it's just because it's who you are. What you possess. You know, it's not about deserving or not deserving. You know, Job didn't deserve mm-hmm. it. You know, Joseph didn't deserve it. So, like, pretty much welcome to the club, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. It's going to give you a different perspective. Like, I really saw how the court systems are concerning men, how they are just, they don't care about love and father. You can have a complete whack job. And
wow.
And it's not even, to me, you can have a whack job mom, and a loving father, and they'll go with the whack job mom, at least out here in Texas courts, and that's something that is on my radar. I literally have a hit list of judges to pray these judges out of office because
mm-hmm.
not all of them are horrible. But during that experience and learning that, God really taught me how to master peace when you're dealing with some pretty shady people, some bad actors. I learned that partly dealing with that attorney. Because this attorney was like, I mean, like dragging my name through the mud. The case didn't have nothing to do with me. It wasn't my case. But yet he dragged me into this case to where the DA's subpoenaing me. I mean, it was crazy. Because when Terrence was going through his court stuff, he's going through court stuff for custody, and then there was criminal stuff on his ex because she had done some pretty dangerous things. So there was just a lot of stuff going on. To where, and this attorney dragged me into it to where I'm being subpoenaed to testify. I didn't want nothing to do with none of it. You know, I'm like, this ain't my issue.
Mm-hmm.
And dragging my
right.
name to me, lying on me and putting cases, CPS cases on me. And all, I mean, it was just nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
It was completely insane. And going through all that, and then during that time, my mom passed. I mean, it was just so much going on. So much going on, and I was very angry. And God used it to teach me, one, how to love an enemy. How to love, because I had not had an enemy prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But he taught me how to love an enemy and enemies and how to master peace and kept telling me, like, I'm going to take care of everything. Like, don't worry about it. And I'm like, this stuff's not fair. And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, don't worry about it. Like, I'm going to take care of it. To where I didn't even focus on it anymore. Like, that guy was out of the picture, you know, for a few years, even though, you know, God came to us last year and was like, hey, that guy's about to lose his license. We want to think about him.
You moved on.
But,
mm-hmm.
but God was like, hey, you know, he's about to lose his license. And sure enough, I pulled up the case. I even sent it to Terrence's old attorney, like, hey, looky here. Look at your buddy here lost his license and sent him all the documents and stuff. And he was like, wow. You know, because even he was traumatized by dealing with this guy to the point where, I mean, this guy was causing him a lot of problems where a judge had given Terrence's attorney a judgment, a personal judgment, financial judgment against that attorney. It was wild. But, I thought about that when I was praying about the vengeance thing. So I don't know if you've dealt with
mm-hmm.
a very nasty person, but God will take care of that person. Okay, like I said, this attorney,
mm-hmm.
I know we're going to eventually have a whole show on that whole experience, not even with the attorney, even with
mm-hmm.
X and stuff. There was just so much just terrible terrible. But God really, he takes care of, even when people are very nasty, and you try to be kind and you try to be polite and just do the right things, and they continue to just do the wrong things, wrong. And they purposely do things to pick at you and purposely do things to try to provoke and irritate you and all that. God takes care of people. He takes care of them. You don't have to, he takes care of you, you know, as this child, he takes care of mm-hmm. people, whether they serve him or not, you know, he loves them, mm-hmm. but he does it needs to be done. And so that's the word I got for you. Vengeance is the Lord. And during that time when we were going through all this stuff, there was things that we could have done legally. There really were. There was legal recourse that we could have taken. And I remember Terrence kept saying, no, we need to be mindful of our seed. We need to be mindful of our seed. I mean, that was like, that was our theme. We need to be mindful mm-hmm. of our seed, mindful of our seed, we need to be mindful of our seed. Because, you know, we were in close contact with the DA. There was several cases going on within several counties. There was two criminal cases in two different counties, and then there was Terrence's custody case. And so we were, you know, contact with like two different sets of DAs. I mean, it was crazy. And some of the stuff that was being done were criminal things that we could have pursued legal action. But Terrence, like, are we doing it because we're genuinely, you know, fearful, or are we upset? Like, what's the intent? He's like, because God knows the intent, and we have to be mindful of our seed. So we let a lot of stuff go, but for the mm-hmm. sake of our, because we didn't want to sow a bad seed. Because, you know, it starts to, when somebody's picking at you, it starts to feel like you kind of want to flex on them a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
leave me alone, because you doing this, I can send you straight to jail. You know what I mean? But I was like, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to pray, do what needs to be done, and let God take care of it, you know. And then, like, even with all the different cases of the way the family courts work, it was just wild how it didn't go nothing like we thought it was going to go. But we still, you know, just trust God, and God gave us to where we just had peace about everything. We really learned mm-hmm. about peace. But when people come at you, people come against you, and you know you haven't done anything, whether you have or not, it doesn't matter. But when people unjustly come against you, God takes care of them, you know, because the enemy will use these people to try to get you to sow bad seeds. It's a setup for you to sow bad seeds, because the enemy knows, you know, how the word of God says, don't be deceived, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that and that alone will he reap. The enemy knows that that's true, so he tries to get us to sow bad seeds. But justify it, because it's easy to sow a bad seed when you feel justified.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even think about it as a bad seed because you feel justified in the things that you're doing. Like, oh, they came for me. You know, they're bothering me. I'm not bothering nobody. This, you know, and nah, the intent ain't right. You know, and things that we did feel have some genuine concerns with, that those were things that were pursued. But when it was like, okay, I could make this easy for myself and just have you locked up or whatever just to win over here because you're bothering me. No, we didn't pursue that kind of stuff, even though it could have been done that way. And so
mm-hmm.
God takes care. He's taking care of us. The attorney's out of here, never to terrorize another client again.
That's
so
great.
Just trust God. He will take care of people. And at the time, if God would have did that, I would have been like doing the Toyota kick in the air. I'd have been excited. But God did it at a time where, like I said, we weren't thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't sitting there waiting with, you know, binoculars on, like, when's God going to get him? When's God going to get him? We wasn't thinking about him. God came to us like, hey, that attorney is going to lose his license this year. Like, oh, okay. Because there was no more of the ill feelings. Because we had worked past that. You know, we it got to the point where we felt sorry for him. But in the beginning, like I said, I was angry. I didn't feel sorry for nothing. I'm like, Lord, if you could send a Mack truck anytime now, if you want to just... and Bill Rock on his head. Like, you know, I was really angry. God helped me to work all that out to where I really did start to just genuinely feel sorry for him and Terrence's ex and, you know, some of the other people involved. I was just really started to feel very sorry for them because I'm like, they really don't know what they're doing. You know, they know not what they do, because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it, because they don't realize that they're not doing things to us or doing things to themselves, because they're going to reap what they sow. And then while they're doing things as a weapon, it's not going to prosper. So it's really like the enemy be tricking people into thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to go bother Valerie. I'm going to do this to her. I'm going to get under her skin. No, you're not doing it to me. You're doing it to you. Because you sow the seed because of your bad intentions, and then the things that you do to me, it might momentarily irritate me, but it's not going to prosper because you're doing it as a weapon. So it's not going to prosper. So you didn't really do anything to me. You just set yourself up for a harvest of what you were trying to do to me. You've done it to yourself. Literally dug a ditch for me that you will fall in. You have literally built gallows for me that you will hang on. So it's like when God really took us through this journey, I really learned that people can't do nothing to me. They can attempt to, but really they're doing it to themselves. And so it's like now I see it different. Like, dang, I feel sorry for you because you're not doing nothing to me. You're really not doing anything to me, but you're setting yourself up for your own failure by trying to set me up for it. So that's what I see with you, that, you know, God wants you to just to have peace. Because, you know, sometimes we do have people that really don't, you know, they really come against us. And that's not to deal with, but God will take care of it and teach us those lessons. Because that's a lesson that I'm thankful for now, but in the middle of it, when God said, I'm going to show you how to love your enemies, I said, there's no way. I can't love these people. These people are, like, literally coming against me and trying to get me in trouble for things that I've literally not done. I've not done anything. I just be praying for these people and seeking blessing over them. And they're really lying on me and saying all these different things and getting people involved in my children's school and trying to make me look bad and all. I mean, it was nuts.
Wow.
But God was like, no, I'm gonna show you how to love people. I'm gonna show you how to remove yourself from it. You know, and he did. And I'm grateful to God for the experience. But at the time, I wasn't, but I am now because I don't think I would have ever understood how it feels, what it means to love an enemy, and what Jesus meant when he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. I said that wholeheartedly. You know, when David said, search my heart, oh God, I have to say that almost daily. Almost daily, God, search my heart, because I got so much anger in me, and I'm so upset, I'm so mad. I want to do something. I feel like there's something I could do. You know, showing up at my house and acting crazy, vandalizing my property. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
It was,
oh, my God.
It was some wild time. And God showed me how, despite all that, where he's like, I got you. I'm protecting you. You know, pray for them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But just love them. Pray my blessings for them. Pray my favor on them. I'm like, favor? Why they're coming against us. Why would we want them to have favor? But I'm grateful for those lessons. So just know that, you know, all things come to an end. When somebody's trying to provoke, harass, you know, stalk and do all these, it comes to an end. You know, people can't keep doing the wrong thing forever. And when God puts a stop to it, he puts a stop to it. Because even when we didn't have to deal with that attorney anymore, he still was jacking up people's cases and lying. I'm like, where does Phil get his law degree from? A Trix box? Like, with five UPC symbols? Like, what in the world? Like, it was just so crazy. So crazy. But, and I, you know, when we found out he lost his license, I mean, it did feel like the house dropped on the Wicked Witch. But even rejoicing and knowing that he can't hurt people anymore with his law degree, I still prayed and said, Lord, you know, show him who you made him to be. Show him the error of his ways and bless him. You know, bless him. That's his bread and butter and stuff, you know, bless him. And if he don't want to change his ways, that's between him and God. But, you know, I sincerely prayed that for him. I don't like to see people suffer, and I don't like to see people down bad. You know, but sometimes people put themselves in that position And even when they do, I hope that they get out of that position. But, hey, I'm just glad that his reign of terror, as far as from a legal standpoint, and contributing to trying to destroy people's lives. So just know, whatever, whoever, God, the vengeance of God, it ain't no joke.
This is so timely. I can't tell you how timely it is. Very timely. And so I just thank you so much for sharing that. It's really encouraging, and it's confirmation just even about what you were saying in terms of, you know, praying for your enemies and not being provoked, like, you know, tit for tat, well, you did this and I'm going to do this. But really just, you know, trying to walk in a way that honors God. So thank you. I mean, this is really, I just feel like you know, what you were saying, it's just a game plan. Okay. You know, given the current attack that I'm under, you know, just what I need to do. And, you know, even for peace, like you were saying, I mean, that's something that I've been praying for. And, but you know, this has been really helpful. Thank you. And also, I did want to tell you what you were saying earlier to LaShun's, the person that you were praying for, that really ministered to me as well, you know, in terms of like your mindset and, you know, not being limited by circumstances and all those things. I was like, oh, I'm glad I heard this too. It was definitely an encouragement. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad you got what you needed. And yes, when people try to promote, you know, you just, sometimes you will have a moment and you forgive yourself and you keep it pushing, but you always just operate in that peace. You always do. And for me, I think one of the greatest things was really praying for the people. That's really what helped me, was praying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and asking God to show me the heart and say, hey, what's going on with this person? Like, why is this person like that? You know, where do they need healing, Father God? You know, and that really helped. And the prayers in the beginning, they were not sincere. It was out of strictly obedience. And then it started to really become sincere. My heart really started to soften. It really did. And so, you know, don't feel like, oh, I'm being a fraud because, you know, I really want the anvil to drop on their head, but I'm praying these. No, it will come. You will start to, God really will start to show you, because God sees the heart. We don't see the heart. We just see the, you know, we see the byproduct of what's in the heart, but we don't know what's in the heart. We don't know what's happening. And so God will soften your heart, and it will become more and more sincere. And then you'll start to come to expect certain things. Like even with Terrence dealing with his ex, there's still a lot of, she still tries to provoke and harass and that kind of thing. But Terrence has a whole system now where it just doesn't work. You know, once you see something for what it is, you come to expect it. So when the stuff comes, and then the Lord will warn them. The Lord literally will tell one of us, hey, this person's going to try to bother you today. And then, like, no lie, 5 minutes later, a message will come through or something, and it's exactly that. So, like, kid you not, you know, he'll be like, hey. This
Thank you, Jesus, for insight.
They're coming with foolishness. And then, and no lie, Terrence is like, look at this, you know, it'd be pure foolishness. And he already knows how to, you know, how to deal. Like when you're dealing with, you know, people who are difficult, you know, God even directed us to like methods, you know, like gray rocking and the mist method, you know. So there's ways to deal with them to where you just eliminate all the conflict. So, and while you're doing that, you know, you're just praying and knowing that God is, his hand is still in everything, but you're doing everything within your ability to really try to keep peace, because as believers, that's what we do. But we also know we serve a God of war. So if need be, he will wage war when it's needed. But you just do what needs to be done. That praying is really going to give you that peace, and know that it doesn't matter. When people try to come at you with lies and just trying to be an irritant and all that kind of stuff, even when it looks like they're winning, they're not. They're absolutely not winning. And you have to believe that. Just like the mentality of not being letting where you come from determine where you're going. Don't let what it looks like in the natural take your mind off of the victory, because it will look like mm-hmm. that. Like, so Terrence and I really start to talk about these court cases. I know it's going to happen this year, where we get into the nitty-gritty and the details of those court cases. I mean, at one point, we really felt truly defeated. We're like, these courts are a joke. You know, like, they don't care. But God had already given us a word. And so we're still believing for some of the things that God has told us that we haven't seen yet. But we don't care that we haven't seen it yet, because God said it. So we already know what's going to happen. And so we just mm-hmm. are just biding our time and doing what needs to be done to get there. But know that, like I said, do it what you need to do to keep your peace. Pray, bless. Don't get caught up. Don't allow the provocation to like get under your skin. And I know that's hard. I know that's hard,
mm-hmm.
especially when the person is trying to provoke and trying to rattle you and trying to steal your peace and trying to. But no, it's like it is. And do what needs to be done. But that's about to wrap up. that situation for you, that's wrapping up. That's wrapping up. God ain't gonna keep letting people mess with his daughter, and just doing it, because that's what people do. People, when they keep getting away with doing the wrong thing, they keep doing the wrong thing. Like a criminal, eventually they get caught.
Mm-hmm.
They get away with it. They get caught eventually, and it's like this person is going to get caught up in God's vengeance. So that's like a that's the Titanic. Like, that thing is already sinking. So every time I try to provoke, harass, all that, just like, this is a sinking ship. I'm not gonna invest in no sinking ship. I'm already on mm-hmm. the lifeboat. So I'm gonna let you continue on while the band is playing and giving you a false sense of security, but I already know you're going down. And you can get on the lifeboat if you want to, but hey, that's on you. If you want to enjoy the band and have some tea and crumpets while you sink, that's on you. And that's the way you gotta look at it. You gotta look at it, and that helps you to maintain your peace when you already know that thing is already over. I'm not even gonna invest in that no more. It's over. It's already over. It's a done deal. It's literally already hit the glacier. So you're going to, by the end of this year, that whole thing is going to turn around. Just let the year do, let time do what it does. Because sometimes time feels like an enemy. Time is your friend. Let time do what it does. Because God loves the people that don't even like us. And that's what God taught me. God was like, I love the people that hate you. And I was like, you really do. And he's like, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, he loves them, so they hate you. Because we'd be like, no, because people go, because God's going, nah, he still loves them. They're in error, they're wrong, but he still loves them. So he's doing what he leaves people without excuse. He's just. So when he does administer what needs to be done, when this dude's law license got snatched, it needed to get snatched. God gave him plenty of time, because all that court stuff started in 2017, 16, something like that. His law license got snatched to 22. So he had plenty of time to get it together. Plenty of time. You know, he's got two, you know, people praying and prophesying, you know, and even me, I've had other people, powerful people, pray for this man sincerely. I remember I had Randy pray for him, and I mean, Randy had no clue. Randy still to this day doesn't know everything about what we had experienced. And Randy's prayer was so on point, it was scary. It was scary on point. And it lined up to what God had told us was going to happen. And it did. It happened. So, yeah, take peace in that. Literally, look at it like the Titanic. That thing has already hit the glacier. It's sinking. You're already on the lifeboat. You're not going to sink with it. So if they want to steal, literally on the Titanic, I studied it as a child, the band was literally playing to give the people in first class a false sense of security. So people were literally still ordering tea and grabbing their furs and all this kind of stuff. Like, when you study the Titanic, not from the movie, but actually study the accounts People really had a false sense of security. So they still felt good about just operating and doing the things that they were doing, even though this ship was doomed. But because of the surroundings, they felt comfortable. Like, oh, we're going to be fine. You know, so this person feels comfortable even though it's hit the glacier. And it gets to a point where it's too late to jump off the ship. There's the all the lifeboats gone. Titanic didn't have enough lifeboats for the passengers. So it gets to a point where it's too late. But God is giving time because God loves that person. So he's giving time, but there is a such thing as too late. So let them do what they do. You just maintain and know you've already won. Not because you're just so special, not because you're on the side of right. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the side of right. Because it's not a battle against you, against another person. It's right or wrong. And so it's like they can step into the right side, but they're not. They're not stepping into it right now. And I don't think that they will. And that's when God steps in. So it's just like when Paul said, turning over somebody to Satan for the destruction of their flesh and the saving of their soul. You know, God does what needs to be done. Try to get people right and to get people to understand sometimes they got to be forced to do the right things or put in a position where they can't do the wrong things no more. So however you're going to do it, you just trust him. But when he does it, you're not even going to feel no type of way. I tell you, I was excited when this guy lost his license, not because of what he had done to me, but because I didn't want him to do that to nobody else. That's why I was excited. Like now you can't do this to other people, because I survived what you did, the lies and all that kind of stuff. I survived it. Everybody ain't me. I know everybody ain't as strong as me. Everybody's not a believer. You know, everybody don't have that. So I'm like, you can, like, the stuff he was saying. This dude said I was on cocaine and also. I mean, I had to go get drug tests and also. It was nuts. I mean, flipped it upside down.
Wow.
Sending people to my kids' school and stuff where the school administrators pulled me to the side like, hey, what's going on? That was embarrassing. Having to constantly have to prove that I'm not these things. Having to prove, I mean, I literally was guilty until proven innocent. I'm having to prove that I'm not all these. I mean, he was just trying to throw things at the wall and seeing what will stick. Every accusation you could think of, he threw at me. Every single one. To try to make me he can't be, you know, to say that Terrence couldn't be around me and my kids because she's this, that, and she's this, and I was none of that. None of that. And then in the end, I ended up winning favor with the judge. The judge liked me in the end, even though he, you know, he's seeing all these horrible things about me and ended up liking me in the end. So, but... I overcame that. I was like, I don't want that to happen to nobody else. So when it happened, when he lost the license, I'm like, yay, now he can't do this to somebody else. Because that's the type of stuff that people lose their minds over. People end their lives over court stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm like, people who are weak could end up taking their own life because of this type of stuff. Imagine, you know, your job, people, and all this other kind of stuff. Being affected and, you know, it crazy. So I was excited for that because I'm like, now you can't do this to another person. And so when it happens in your case, it's going to be like that too. It's like, now you can't do this to somebody else. Now you've been exposed. Now this, that, and the other. I mean, so God really wants you to get this.
No.
Because I get it when you're in the middle of it. And I'm really glad that we did not tell Randy at the time, you know, what was going on, because God really used him to prophesy things. It was so on point every time. It was so on point every time. And it really, the prophetic realm really kept us encouraged when we were going through pure hell. I mean, pure hell. And it felt like it was at every angle. And that was around the time that we started doing the show. Because we were like, maybe we shouldn't do the show. We got too much going on. And God, like, nope. I really think that God used us even doing the show to sow seeds and to, you know, it really was transforming. And all this stuff was happening around that same time. So Just hold on to that. Hold on. Don't let nothing, nobody take your peace. Don't let no circumstance tell you what it's going to be. God has already told you what it is, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to use fear and all, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And he was trying to use them. They're going to take your kids. You're going to lose your job. You're this, that. No, none of that happened. I mean, contacting where I stayed and everything. Like, I mean, this dude really went after every area of my life. Every area of my life. Having my kids followed. It just nuts. Nuts, nuts, nuts. Like, Lifetime movie. I need to make a screenplay.
Goodness. You know, if it's Lifetime, it's got to be nuts. It's got to be an extreme.
I mean, just
well,
nuts.
I am super encouraged. I just can't express. I really am. Thank you so much. Like you were talking about the prophetic, just encouraging you and just for you to speak to these things and just exactly what you're saying. It's confirmation, but it really is encouraging me and just kind of directing me, you know, these are the things that I need to do or, you know, in terms of like where's my focus going to be? Where's my energy going to be in terms of, you know, what do I spend my time doing, you know, in terms of praying and all of that. So I'm very encouraged. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. We're going to continue to pray for you. And
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and end the show tonight because I know we had a couple more people with their hands up. I'm so sorry, but I got to clear it off because I know you guys call back in at 8:45. Hit one. That puts you in the queue. Randy typically does a message and prays over everybody. But, you know, when we do our shows, we always let God lead, and this is what was needed. So hopefully you got something out of it too. But until next time, love you all. Good night.